Here's one of my main goals for today, is that everybody in this room could come to a place where we would say, I only want what comes from his hand. I will not pursue anything in life that is not his heart, his plan, his idea for me. There was a season in our life where I could take you through my house and I could show you, you know, this couch and this table and this, and everything seemed to represent a season. And it's that way again today, but it's a different time in our life. But I remember back when Benny and I were first married, probably married a year or two, I was wanting to buy a hunting rifle. And if you're against hunting, pretend it's a camera. I'm going to shoot photographs of wildlife. And then for some strange reason, eat the photograph. But anyway, we'll just leave it at that. So I had saved up money, and I was going to buy a hunting rifle. And we had some bills come up, and I mean, I'd even saved birthday money and all this, you know how you do. And we just needed help. So I saved enough to buy a nice little hunting rifle. And these bills came up, and I thought, yeah. I mean, who wants to be responsible when you can have fun? That's kind of like my approach. Why be responsible when you can have fun? But Jesus got the best of me, and I just sucked it up and paid the bills and tried to be happy in the fact that we no longer had those debts. I don't know if it was that week, if it was 2 weeks later, but it was right in that immediate period of time. One Sunday night here at Bethel, this is back, goodness, 1974 probably. One of the older guys in the church, who was a wonderful, wonderful man, he had become a real good friend of ours. After the service came up to me, or during this, before the service, he came up to me, he says, Bill, you need a rifle? Yes, yes. Thus saith the Lord, yes. and he said, come to my house after church tonight. So I went by his house, and he brought out this pre-64 Winchester, oh yeah, pistol grip, 30-30 peep sight. It was just, it's a classic old gun. And he gave it to me. And that gun, means a lot more than a gun. Because it actually came from the Father's hand through one of his special chosen ones. And it was very interesting. Some years later, I was in Weaverville. Somebody got into our house. We were gone for a few days, and they stole. I had three or four guns there, and they stole them. And that gun was with the others, but they didn't take it. And it was literally, they were all together in one bunch. And it was like the Lord just said, no, you're not touching that one. That is a prophetic emblem. This is a monument that prophesies. We had fellowship here. We had agreement here. We had covenant here. And this is where I met with my son. And see, what I want for my life is I want that. I want the will of God, because it's so much more fun when you stay in your lane. So many of you would be more than happy if you had your present condition and you were put in some broken and impoverished part of the world, because you would be doing so well as compared to everybody else. Let's be honest. But because of your relatives that have more, or your neighbor, or the person you work with, the issue of comparison is the problem here, the desire for other things. It's put anything else on the list you want. It's pursuing things outside of the dominion of God. Is if I could just have this position, if I could just have this marriage, if I could just have this title, if I could just have this education, if I could drive this car, I know I would be happy. Amen. If I could just have this or have that, if I could buy that house. And what happens is the appetite for other things to satisfy, we pray for it because we want it to be in God's will. But the appetite has pulled us out of our lane, And the appetite itself fuels the beast that chokes the promise of God over our life. That sometimes actually has the very fulfillment of the thing we ache for. But because the appetite has taken us out of our lane, does that make sense to anybody? The appetite pulls us out of our assignment, out of our lane, out of the sense of God's timing. Then suddenly the very hunger that I have that could be fulfilled by the hand of God is now the very thing that works to choke the promise of God over my life. Years ago, I had a friend of ours in Weaverville. I've shared the story. In fact, I think I shared it recently. He had a friend. I've been on vacation. My mouth is not yet ready to talk. Let's just be honest. I'm still in vacation mode, and all I want to do is talk about, sure is hot out there. You know, anything beyond that's just challenging to me at the moment. So just give me a break. My friend received a phone call from his friend's wife, who one day called and said, hey, if I could schedule it, would you take my husband fishing? They love to fish. And so without her husband knowing it, she scheduled for him to have several days off with his boss, everything, and send him to Weaverville. And he'd spend several days with our friend Tom, and Tom would take him fishing for several days. But the guy didn't know it. The wife scheduled, talked to the boss, packed the gear, packed his clothes, went and picked him up at work and said, you're going up to see Tom in Weaverville, and you're going fishing for the next several days. He said, wait, I'm supposed to go to work. Nope, you've got tomorrow off. What about you've got the next day off? She arranged everything. So every what if was answered. Now, how much more fun is it to go up there, her sponsoring the trip, than him demanding his right as a husband to be able to go fishing? Which is more fun? Which is more fun, you having that promotion at work from God's hand, or because you manipulated and whined and complained until you got it? The point is the desire for other things actually chokes the actual destiny of God over our life. It has to do with appetite. It has to do with stewardship. It has to do with the divided mind. These are the areas that, monitored well, keep us in our lane so that by the end of our life, we can say with Solomon, and everything that came into his heart came to pass. That's what I want to see. I've been praying that over my own life this week, God. Everything that you have promised, I want to see come to pass. Not just for my sake. I want, as clearly as I know how to say this, I want to see every word he has promised fulfilled, that he would be revealed for who he is. That he would be revealed. I pray that over you. I pray that the Lord would help us as stewards of the word. I hear so many people say, I don't know why I've got all these promises over my life and they just don't come to pass. Not you, it's them other folks. It's when I travel. I'll be honest, it's when I travel. Those are the people. The problem is never on his end of the equation. And it's not a time for guilt and shame, but it is a time to be able to say, God, my appetite is for your dominion to be fully realized over me. I hunger for your will. I'll make any adjustment necessary because I want to see you exalted and revealed for who you are in the earth. So I pray that over us as a church family right now.